I call this remote meeting of the House Higher Education Committee to order. The CLA will take the roll.
Chair Bernardi.
Present.
Chair Bernardi, present. Vice Chair Christensen.
Present.
Vice Chair Christensen, present. Representative O'Neill.
O'Neill, present.
O'Neill, present. Representative Albright is excused. Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Daniels, present. Representative Erickson.
Erickson, present.
Representative Erickson, present. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, present.
Representative Hansen, present. Representative Heintzman.
Present.
Representative Heintzman, present. Representative Howard. Representative Howard. Representative Keeler.
Present.
Representative Keeler, present. Representative Cleborne is excused. Representative Kosnick.
Present.
Present.
Representative Kosnick, present. Representative Crenshaw. Looks like Representative Crenshaw is connected to the audio, so we'll come back to him. Representative Mason. Representative Mason. Representative Mecklen.
Mecklen, present.
Representative Mecklen, present. Representative Noor.
Noor, present.
Representative Noor, present. Representative Sandell.
Present.
Representative Sandell, present. Representative Sandstead.
Present.
Representative Sandstead, present. Representative Thompson. Representative Thompson. Representative Howard. Representative Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, present.
Representative Crenshaw, present. Representative Mason. Representative Thompson. Madam Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. Members, we have two sets of minutes to approve today. First, may I have a motion to approve the minutes for June 15th, 2021?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Noor moves approval for the minutes for June 15th, 2021. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed. The motion prevails and the minutes for June 15th, 2021 are approved. Next, may I have a motion to approve the minutes for February 9th, 2022?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Sandstead, hopefully I got that right, moves approval of the minutes for February 9th, 2022. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes for February 9th, 2022 are approved. Today we'll be hearing from each of our tribal colleges, and I want to welcome them to our committee from across the state. To make sure everyone has a chance to present, I'll ask members to hold their questions until each presenter has had a chance to testify, and we will do a question and answer session at the end. First, we will hear from President Dan King from the Red Lake Nation College. Welcome back to our committee, President King. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Bonjour, everyone. Hello, my name is Dan King, and I'm president of the Red Lake Nation College, and also very proud and honored to be one of the seven hereditary chiefs from the Red Lake Nation. So did you want me to go first then?
Yes, please go ahead, President King.
Okay, I'm going to be sharing my screen with everybody.
And we roughly have like 10 or 15 minutes for the presenters, and then so go ahead.
Okay, can you see the screen, everybody?
For each of the presenters, I should say, President King, sorry to cut you off. Yes, I see you wonderfully. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, I have about a 10-minute presentation. I had a 2-minute video in here, so it's probably about a total of 12 minutes. And I know that some of you might be familiar with some of this information, so I'm going to kind of go through it, give you the executive summary. There's our beautiful campus up in Red Lake.
Wait, Madam Chair, I hate to bust. I don't see the presentation. I don't know if it's just me or not.
Hey, President King, can you try to get that going again? It's not showing up on ours. I misunderstood.
Okay. Oh, there was. Yeah, we didn't. Okay, that was my bad there. Okay.
Then, okay, it looks like the screen sharing is starting. Great. Okay. Thank you for your patience.
There we go. Is that better?
Yes, perfect. Thanks.
Okay, great. Okay. There is our beautiful campus up in Red Lake. And you can see there's our campus in the Red Lake Nation. There's our quick agenda for today. We're just going to go through these things fairly quickly. Our purpose and mission of the Red Lake Nation College is to provide excellent higher education that's grounded in the language and culture of the Red Lake Nation. So I always like to say we're in the people business. You know, our main goal is to build people up and build up their academic skills so eventually they can go on to bigger and greater things. There you see a few of our students who are at the White House with us. And for natives, we really don't have an education gap. We have an education canyon because the reservation areas and native country in the urban areas really are not like the rest of the U.S. Like the closest other college other than the Red Lake Nation College up here in Red Lake is about an hour and a half drive from us. So lack of access and equity to higher education is a huge challenge. So we're trying to fill that education canyon. And so to fill that, we pretty much need everything. Everything you can think of, doctors, teachers, lawyers, counselors, everything we need. That's what we need on our reservations. And so what we have to do at the tribal colleges is we provide the entire college support system for mentors. About 80% of our students are first generation. And then also while we're doing that, we want to instill pride in being native. So our vision is not just for them to come and get a two-year. We're a two-year school. So our goal isn't just for them to get a two-year degree and finish. We want them to continue on 4 years, master's and beyond, and then come back and help the reservation. So we're a key access bridge. And I always like to say we're too important to fail. And we're like a family college. So just like the university, the state of Minnesota would never let the U of M fail. Our tribes can't let our tribal colleges fail. It's too important. And we're teaching them to be educationally sovereign, to be independent citizens. And that means tax-paying citizens, productive, successful, happy citizens. And we don't have a 10-year plan. We have a 100-year plan. We think in terms of seven generations and helping the generations beyond us. But we still need help from the state. So I'm very thankful that you asked us here today. As far as getting into our colleges, we have open enrollment. So all you need is a high school diploma or a GED. So this provides access and opportunities, and we cater and provide education from a native perspective. And to me, I think it's one of the best examples of tribal sovereignty. And we have small classes, only about 10 students average, because we need to make them small so our students get individualized attention. And as I mentioned, we're too important to fail. We have a new Minneapolis site that I want to tell you about today, too. And we like to say we serve not only an underserved community, but a never served community. We've never had a tribal college in the Twin Cities until now. Now we have a tribal college there that I'll tell you about. And at our school, we like to say we're a family college. You're not just a number. You get one-on-one individualized attention. And we're looking for long-term partners with the city, county, state, all the state schools, University of Minnesota, and the private sector. We do have our full accreditation through the HLC, the Higher Learning Commission, which, as you all know, is the highest level of accreditation for a college. So we're in the same arena as Notre Dame. We have to meet the same exact accreditation as Notre Dame has and all of these great universities. So we have to do the same thing that they have to do for our accreditation. We also made ease of transfer a key thing. So we want our students to go to state schools. So we developed articulation agreements with all the four-year schools in Minnesota. and we follow the MinSKU plan and program so that all of our credits are fit into the same 11 categories as all the MinSKU schools. And we have those articulation agreements. The only one we don't have yet is the University of Minnesota, which we're still working on that one. Another big benefit of being at our school is our students have zero debt when they graduate. They finish 2 years with zero debt. The average four-year debt in this country right now is an average of $33,000 for a four-year degree. While at Red Lake Nation College, they get through those first 2 years with no debt. We don't offer any student loans. We only offer grants. And if people need extra help, then we provide that financial assistance. So that's a great way for our students to at least go into those third and fourth years of undergrad with zero debt. And our students who start get a technology suitcase, which has a laptop, an iPhone, and an internet hotspot as part of their tools for being a college student. More pathways to four-year degrees. The university, as you all know, just started the state of Minnesota with free tuition for natives based on income, and that will help a lot of our students who can go on to the University of Minnesota after finishing at our school. So I want to say thank you all for your help with that. Well, we have about 16,000 tribal members for Red Lake. Half of them live in the Twin Cities. Half of them live up here by the reservation. So we said, well, we need to serve our other half. And so we started looking for an additional campus location, and we found one right across from the Twin Cities, the First Bank Stadium, downtown Minneapolis. So there it is in orange there, right across from U.S. Bank Stadium, right by the transit, the train, the bike path. So it's a beautiful location. And right, just one metro ride from Indian Country over by Franklin and Lake Street. So there's a front-on look. We actually were interested in the building on the left. We found out the other two were also available, so we ended up buying that whole little block. Our tribe invested $4.2 million to make those purchases for our tribal college. And there's what we intended to look like when we're done. We're going to do at least a $9 million renovation on this, and so it's going to be spectacular once we get done. There are over 50,000 Native Americans in the Twin Cities and no tribal college. So we want to fix that. So there's the before and after. And there's the view from above. We're going to have a green roof on that too. So we're planning on making this available for other community meetings, for Indian Country. This will be available. And we also intend to but just make that just a must-see place in the Twin Cities for showcasing Native culture and language. But it's going to be 21st century, where with the modern ways of our architects, Cunningham and Full Circle, we'll be doing this according to all the latest and greatest of technology and use of space. So as far as our fast-track timeline, we're looking at currently there's classes ongoing in Minneapolis already. We have a conditional use permit that was approved by the city, and the new campus will be starting in, we've already started, but the grand opening for the renovation of everything will be fall of 23. So we are going to be operating school down there while we do our construction. I wanted to share just a little bit of everybody, and I think everybody might be familiar. Can you check this, Brandon? The Minnesota State Constitution does state that no people shall be discriminated against based on race. That's in the state constitution. But that is followed by non-Native students who attend tribal colleges in Minnesota. They still get minimal funding for these students. We get a minimal funding of about $4,000 per student. It's not much. I think it's a couple hundred thousand for all the tribal colleges in Minnesota. However, most people aren't aware of this, but if you're Native American and you attend a tribal college in Minnesota, tribal colleges do not get any funding from Minnesota for operations. Yeah, there is the Minnesota State Indian Scholarship, which goes directly to students. That does help students. But as far as operational funding, the tribal colleges don't get anything from the state. And to me, I think that's a great injustice, you know, not only legally, but morally too, given we have these tremendous, tremendous educational gaps. Four-year attainment right now, when we did a survey back in 2011, we found that about 33% of the people in the U.S. attained a four-year degree. In the Red Lake Nation, that was 1.5%. So that's what we talk about when we say it's an education canyon, not a gap. So to overcome that, I think we really have to look at funding the schools like tribal colleges that are going to make these huge impacts. So the only way to overcome those education gaps and canyons is to put funding and support the institutions that are serving these people. We're the only schools serving a Native population are tribal colleges for higher education. We tailor our education toward Natives. And we're greatly underfunded, not only at the federal level, but every year we're forward funded. So we get locked into a certain date and they say, oh, these are your numbers for the next 2 years. So if our numbers go up like they are now for Minneapolis, we're stuck on 2 years back funding. So it's really a huge challenge to overcome. And then every year we're also challenged with reduced funding. Every time there's a problem during the last several years where we had the previous president, it was very challenging for us. Every year we had to fight for our funding. So we are working with the governor's office and the higher ed commissioner Olson to address this funding injustice. So now I would like to share with you just a quick 2 minute video on our new Minneapolis. This is our 3D animation of our new Minneapolis campus. So it's about 2 minutes.
Madam Chair, nothing is shared again.
Yeah, we're working on it right now.
All right, we use Google Meets here. So the trying to find the video. Okay, well, so this is why we have the backup. Then. So we're going to share that. Share the screen.
Oops. Glad you're here, Brandon. I would have never figured all that out.
That should just be. Hold on, let me stop sharing everything here. There it is, okay. What's that?
We could come back to it later if it's not working out. I'm happy to wait for to get it working.
Okay. Maybe while he's pulling that up. Oh, there it is right there.
Good. Minimize the video, that's fine.
Yeah, while Brandon's pulling that up, I can tell you that our tribe did put $4.2 million into the new campus, and we raised $6 million for renovation. All looks like you're in.
All right.
Can you see that now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we ended up going with Full Circle as our architects, and I put it right up there. Yeah. And so we did, we put in, our tribe purchased the three buildings, yep, for $4.2 million, and we actually raised $6 million for renovation. So that puts it at 10.2. And so we still end up, we have about $6 million for our renovation. We still need about $3.5 million to finish it. So that was going to be a big funding request that we were looking, and we were hoping that you folks could have any ideas, insights, or help with completion of our Minneapolis campus. And, you know, given the previous funding inequities, to me, I think this would be a perfect opportunity for us to partner up on this and help us serve over 50,000 natives in the Twin Cities. So, Miigwech, everybody.
Miigwech, I see we have two members that have raised their hands. What we can do is take 5 minutes off of the end and take these two questions now and then save other questions for later, if that's okay with these two members, if we can do it within 5 minutes. Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'll try to be really quick in a 5 minute time frame because I know another hand is up. First, I want to say we had one of your students, Mitchell Johnson, present to us a couple weeks ago, and I think that's the example of what kind of students are coming out of this college. And so I really appreciate that. One of the things, two questions. I love articulation agreements. That's like the typical nerd in me, and so I would really like to see what those look like. I think it's interesting that U of M, yes, has expanded their ability to have a Native American enroll for tuition free, yet they haven't figured out articulation agreements with you to transition from our tribal schools. So I look forward to how that grows together. But I'm interested in hearing about the ease of transfer that you talked about, because we know that from community colleges, tribal colleges, as students leave and go into four-year programs, there's typically an extra semester that's added on. Just because of transfer. Have you been working on this ease of transfer long enough that you're seeing that it's eliminating that extra semester?
President King.
Yes, thank you for those questions. And yes, it is. And actually, we've been working on this since 2010 when we redid our entire curriculum. And we did it with the idea that our students need to transfer to other places, but we got tired of seeing them having to take extra classes. And so we said, let's work with these schools. And first one we did was with Bemidji State. And then University of Minnesota Crookston was very good in working with us. And then once we worked with the commissioner of Maholtra, he helped us do that for every four-year school. And we are a big believer in articulation agreements. And we also like the idea of creating our classes so that they match up with the MinSCU 11 goal areas, so that it makes it a lot easier for our students. And then the people at the receiving schools look at our stuff and say, oh, that looks just like our speech class. There you go. And so there's no problem for the student, and they don't have to pay application fees either. Each of those schools work that out with us. So we're very happy about that. And I agree with you that the bureaucracy at the University of Minnesota has been the biggest problem. Every other school, even the University of Minnesota Crookston, being a smaller school, we got that done in like 2 months. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with the U of M for over 2 years, and it's really difficult to get things passed there.
Representative Kaler, did you have a follow-up?
I do. Thank you for that answer. The last question is, you talked about the Minneapolis site being eligible for tribal members. Is that, one, is it just Red Lake tribal members, and is it if it's not, if it's open to all members of federally recognized tribes, is it enrolled members, or is that accessible to lineage and descendancy members as well?
Any members. And any members of any tribe, and really any nationality or race, we're open to anybody. And our credit is 159 per credit compared to state schools, which are 250 to 450. And my daughter goes to the University of Minnesota. You know, it's 33,000. Our school is 4,500. And then they finish with 2 years, and they can transfer those 2 years to University of Minnesota. Or we had one student who transferred from Red Lake Nation College to Dartmouth and graduated. So our students can go and compete anywhere. The only difference is they haven't been given the opportunity before. So opportunity and access is what we're all about. Also education from a Native perspective.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill.
President Kay, I just love it when you come. I really do. It just is so inspiring. As you probably remember, maybe, I graduated from Bagley High School in 1987. My home was right off of Highway 2 near Shevlin, between Shevlin and Solway. My father lived 5 miles south of the Red Lake border for many, many years on Highway 89. So after I moved out as a young 20-something, he moved to his lake home and spent many years there. So every time you come, it's so inspiring. I actually took my vacation this year and went to Bemidji and toured. I specifically went to Bemidji State University so that I could tour the American Indian Resource Center. And I was so thrilled because they're teaching language and culture and doing it together, breaking bread together. And they do all the wraparound services to make sure that those students actually graduate, which is kind of the point, right? So every time you come, I'm so inspired, and I just want to thank you. I have one quick question because I did grow up there, and something I heard, I'm not quite sure what you meant. So you had said that it's an hour and a half from Red Lake to go to any college, and I've driven it many, many times, and it doesn't take me an hour and a half to get to Bemidji from the border of Red Lake. Did you mean something else, or were you talking about a different site?
No, I just went to Bemidji. It's a round trip. You know, when you go there, it's an hour and a half of your day. And that's what prevented a lot of people from finishing degrees before. It was just such a big obstacle, the distance. And every tribal college has that same problem. You know, we're such rurally located. It's difficulty transportation and then getting instructors to come out here, you know.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for saying that. I just was confused because I'm like, well, it never took me an hour and a half to drive from my dad's house to Bemidji. So round trip, I get it. Okay. I hope that we can do something to support you. And I know how incredibly important it is. Representative Keeler and I have had this conversation many times. I could not be more supportive. And I knew that there was a chasm. I had no idea it was, you know, literally the Grand Canyon of what you're trying to accomplish. So hats off to you, and hopefully we can be very supportive moving forward. Thank you. Always good to see you, President King.
Thank you very much. And yeah, you know, I'm not sure what the percentages are. I think Red Lake might be one of the worst that I've seen as far as the education gap or canyon, but that's what we're trying to do, is to close that as well. So we really do need some help. And I think, you know, we don't get all the help we need from the Fed. So, you know, we're all Minnesota citizens. You know, we all pay taxes. We're all dual citizens of our tribe and the state of Minnesota. So, I mean, it really is kind of amazing to me that the tribal colleges don't get more operational support for their colleges.
Thank you, President King. If you could stick around, we might have some more questions for you towards the end. Next, we will hear from the new president of Leech Lake Tribal College, Helen Ziaikina, and Montgomery. Welcome to our committee, President, and please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for having me and giving me an opportunity to speak. Helen Montgomery is fine. We can spend hours on my first last name. Representative O'Neill, I think I need to give you a shout out from your alma mater high school. My husband works there currently at Bagley High School, so I know the place well. So thank you very much for having me. I also have a presentation. I will try to be concise. You will find that President King and I probably, as tribal college presidents, have a shared mind. We did not prep this together, but I will be speaking about very similar things as he did. And again, congratulations to President King on his recent accreditation. I know it's quite a process. Before I begin speaking through my presentation, I wanted to introduce Danielle Campbell. She is a Leech Lake Tribal College student, and I wanted to give her the opportunity to address the committee and share her experiences here at the college. as well as her goals for the future and some of the daily and general barriers that she might encounter to receive a higher education. So Danielle, when you're ready, you're welcome to speak.
Yeah, please, Danielle, welcome to the committee, and please introduce your full name and proceed. See, I don't see her. Is she on our Zoom call?
Madam Chair, I don't think her volume is working.
She was just here. I just saw her. We can't hear her, huh?
Madam Chair, I see her, but there is no audio.
Can you hear me yet?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, thank you.
Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Helen, and thank you, everyone, for the floor. Good afternoon, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Danielle Campbell. I am a proud full-time student at the Leech Lake Tribal College. I am a first-generation Indigenous college student, and I'm soon to be a first-generation college graduate with my two-year degree, graduating with my Associate in Arts in the fall of 2022. And this is a huge feat for my family and also my community. With me being 32 years old and with a household to take care of and three children also to take care of with the daily cares of that, I'm not what is as described as a traditional student, being that I don't have the privilege of free time a freshly graduated high school student entering university has. So I sat with that notion that maybe secondary education is not in the cards for me. But thankfully, I went to Leech Lake Tribal College just to sign up my brother for college, and he on a whim told me to sign up as well, and that was the best thing that I've ever did on a whim, was that, because they were able to steer my thoughts that this was I was incapable of doing this, and they steered my thoughts opposite ways. So my first step on the campus, I was greeted with a very warm welcome. It's a intimate setting. All the tribal colleges really are intimate setting. You have the small classes, you have one-on-one interaction with the faculty and advisors. Tribal colleges are really different. I have attended a technical college and it was polar opposite with a tribal college. You know, they are smaller, they're not state universities or anything like that, but tribal colleges are also focused on Native education. We're fortunately able to practice our culture, our heritage here with no barriers to our traditions, as I had barriers to my traditional teachings when I attended public school in high school and elementary school. From there to the Leech Lake Tribal College is just, there was no barriers there, and it made me feel at one with my identity and myself. In fact, because of the nature of like the college and how intimate the setting is, I really do want to credit them for all of my academic success in my secondary education. When I needed spiritual guidance, there was people there. There were faculty there. There are other students there that guided me in the direction of who I could talk to, how I could overcome that. When I needed childcare, I could drop my kid off at the childhood education center right next door and be able to pick her up when I was done with classes. Had I not had childcare, I was able to bring my children into class with me. These were things that I wouldn't imagine being able to do at a big university. Now that I become more stable and continuing my journey and everything like that, I do think all the faculty and advisors that helped me throughout this. Right now I'm on a laptop that was given to me through the Bridge program to help me do my online distance learning. I didn't have any other means besides a smartphone. That was really kind of a bad way to do schooling, but now I have the laptop that's helping me continue on with all my classes. If I needed gas cards, there were gas cards there. If I needed help with any kind of trouble with like rides to school or anything like that, there's ways that they had helped. They went above and beyond to help me with that. So that's just my story. But this is the same for a lot of the other students at all the tribal colleges, all the barriers that we have to face. If there is a hardship or a barrier keeping the student from academic success, there's the faculty and staff right there working above and beyond to get the needs met. So I'm forever grateful to have them behind me as I continue down my path of academia. So Leech Lake Tribal College does have reciprocity with BSU, and that's what I plan on doing after I do earn my associates. I plan on transferring over to BSU, earning my bachelor's. Inevitably, I'm going to go on to earn my master's. All that could never have been accomplished had I not just stepped onto the college campus that one day, that faithful day. I really am thankful for that, for the support and guidance at LLTC. Thank you for giving me the floor. I know that my future plans are going to be a bar step for my children, my family, my community, my siblings, to go and reach that bar and get that education and bring our people further. I'm happy to attend this and represent students and speak on behalf of them. And I'd like to thank you all for listening. Thanks.
Thank you. And President Montgomery.
Yes, thank you so much, Danielle, for coming and sharing the floor with me. I am going to start my presentation. Hopefully it goes smoothly. Okay, can everybody see? Are you seeing my presenter view or are you seeing just the slideshow?
There we go.
All right. So I'm going to try to be brief and some of the information you've already heard. Again, thank you to Danielle for sharing her story. So as you know, Leech Lake Tribal College is a public, tribally controlled land grant institution. We're located in Cass Lake, Minnesota. The college was originally established in 1990 and we were designated and granted our land grant status in 1994. We've been fully accredited by the HLC since 2006. And our mission, of course, is the provision of education to students grounded in Anishinaabe values. As Danielle mentioned, our students find that their culture, their history, their language, and higher education are intertwined here in all aspects of the college. We, as I mentioned, are a fully accredited institution, and of course, we are very much grounded in the Seven Grandfather Teachings, at which guide our Anishinaabe worldview. We have several programs here at the college. We have an Indigenous leadership. All of these are two-year programs. We have an Indigenous leadership program, a liberal education program. This is our program that connects to other Minsk'iyu institutions through articulation agreements. Most of our students who pursue an associate's degree in liberal education transfer to a four-year institution. We have a business management program. We have a law enforcement program, which is Minnesota Post accredited, and we actually got reaccredited again with the Minnesota Post this year. This year, our enrollment in our law enforcement program has risen. I'm very happy to say that our students are excellent, and in fact, our nomination for our American Indian College Fund Student of the Year is a law enforcement student who really wanted to be here today, but he works full-time and attends school full-time. He drives a bus route for our Bagadigashik school here in Leech Lake, and so he was unfortunately unable to make it to meet with you today. We're in the process of bolstering and reviving our early childhood education program. We're working with Leech Lake Early Childhood Education to make sure we create a pipeline of early childhood educators for our community. Recently, we've revised our LibEd STEM program to be called an Indigenous Science Program. And within that program, there are several emphases. Obviously, one is in just Indigenous science. The other one is in information technology. We're looking to expand that because those careers are becoming more and more and more demand. Human health, forest, and forest ecology are also emphases in that program. We have a trades program. It's our integrated residential builder program. This is a two-year program. And this program has really blossomed in the last several years. I believe when Mr. Burns was here last year, he talked about a grant that we received from the American Indian College Fund. I actually worked on that grant with the chair of the IRB program, and we were able to construct. It's almost ready. We were just waiting on a garage door. We got a wrong one delivered to us, so now we're waiting on the right one. So this building allows us, the students have built themselves workstation that allow them to appropriately social distance during COVID. We feel it's important to create a workforce for this new world that we live in, to not only be able to work in the trades safely, but to also teach them how to have a safe, a physically safe work site. We have recently become a NSER micro-credentialing school, where our students are able to get micro-credentials in various carpentry and construction sub-trades or emphases. And we are going to be implementing an electrical technician program in the fall of 2022. If we take a look at our graduates, there's so much data that I could throw at this committee, and I really had to, I think more time for me took, you know, figuring out what data do I want to show you. And I really want to focus on our graduates, and I really want to elevate these students who persist. And I want to say that I actually just reported our IPEDS data, and I want to say that the majority of our students persist in the 100 or 150 timeframe. And speaking, you know, coming from kind of that gap view that Dr. King or President King was talking about, I really want to celebrate our students and say how wonderful they are for making the commitment to their higher education. So here's kind of the landscape of our higher of our graduates. We graduate between 50s in getting towards 50, and of course 22 students in 2020. Everybody knows why that is. The pandemic really affected everyone. As you can see, our highest percentage of graduates are from the LibEd, in the LibEd major. Those are the students who are going to four-year institutions, and we work with them to facilitate those transfers and try to prepare them for four-year institutions. I really want to see us doing more to prepare students for the four-year institution transfer, because tribal college students need a little bit more navigation help, I think, in four-year institutions sometimes. So I'll be talking a little bit about that later. Excuse me. So I wanted to talk about the funding, because really the conversation that I'm going to have and the conversation I'm going to steer towards is funding. So as we know, our beneficiary students or our Native American students are funded by the BIE. As President King mentioned, that funding flow isn't as smooth as people may think. That funding flow is 2 years behind. So if we have an increase in students, as we always hope we will, we are also short on funding. However, we also have non-beneficiary students who attend our college. At any given time, there are about 16% of students at any on average in TCUs who are non-tribally enrolled and not descendants of tribally enrolled members. We serve these students just as well and just as equitably as we serve our Native American students. In Leech Lake Tribal College, there were 23 non-beneficiary students who graduated from Leech Lake Tribal College, and we had about 100 non-beneficiary students enrolled during that time. That number is extrapolated from percentages on my end. It's not exact, but that's about, it's in the ballpark. I want to talk about our students and where they come from a little bit, to paint a picture, to kind of give a map picture. I'm a visual person, so I like to show people pictures of what things look like. So as you can see, most of our students are from Minnesota. They're all clustered up north here, but we do have students from as far away as the Philadelphia area and as far away west as Northern California. However, if we look at our local students and where they're coming from locally, we have students coming from as far away as Red Lake Nation, Deer River, some of our scattered and remote communities in Leech Lake. So our students are, for example, a student who is located in Essex, their round trip is close to 3 hours to get to school. These students have a difficult time traveling to school, and sometimes they don't have the internet connectivity that it takes to attend school online. We are working with local LICs here in Leech Lake, and we are going to continue that work to try to deliver, to create remote delivery opportunities for students to take Leech Lake Tribal College courses. However, that work is dependent on funding as well as our time. We simply sometimes do not have time to address all of the needs that we have here at the college and not the necessary staff to do so. I wanted to show this map. This is not really relevant. This is from another project that we're working on, which is a food service system here in Leech Lake. But I wanted to demonstrate this because this map shows the population density around the Leech Lake Reservation. And these blue circles here are 10-mile radius within food places that sell food, supermarkets mostly, or some kind of food markets. As you can see, some of our people here, including some of our students, have to drive quite a ways to obtain just daily supplies like food. So sometimes for students who want to get an education, education is less of a priority than just managing their daily needs and daily lives. Some points about TCU funding, and I know that everyone here knows this, so I in no way mean that this as information that you already know. I just wanted to run through some of the TCU funding general points. So, of course, TCUs are mostly underfunded institutions. We already know that. The federal formula only allocates funding for Native American students. Most other public minority-serving institutions have provisions where the state that they're located in are obligated to fund those institutions. TCUs do not have that provision. We are also, as I showed you, for example, the food desert map on the previous slide, these are some of the reasons we're limited in offsetting or helping ourselves offset our costs by simply raising tuition. Our tuition is some of the lowest and most affordable because our students and we serve an area that is economically depressed. Obviously, underfunding jeopardizes educational attainment all over the place, and it jeopardizes educational attainment for both Native and non-Native populations who we serve, because there are many Native and non-Native students and potential students in this community. I wanted to...
President Montgomery, we have two more presentations and I don't want to cut those short. Are you able to wrap up in a minute and we can come back to it if we have time at the end? Because I know our members like to ask questions at the end. So,
One more minute. Okay. So I wanted to talk about very quickly about, and I'm going to do this in 2 seconds. So Montana is one of the states who funds their TCUs. They started funding their TCUs in 1996 at $1,500 per full-time student. By 2015, this funding was raised to $3,280 per student. Montana passed a bill that appropriated some money for their non-beneficiary students who are enrolled in TCUs, and that money is allocated and distributed to TCUs each year. What I think would really help colleges like Leech Lake Tribal College here in our state would be if the Minnesota State Legislature considered matching our funding for non-beneficiary students to that of what we get from the BIE per student per FTE for beneficiary students, which is $6,355 per student. We also would like to see a fill in the gap between what we are allocated and what we get for our beneficiary or native students. We are allocated $8,000 per student, and right now we are only getting $6,355 per native student who are enrolled in TCU. So it would be a great help if Minnesota State were willing to match or sort of help us close that gap. Obviously, there are obvious benefits to getting more funding. I've listed them here. This is my last slide, so I am ready to finish my presentation. I appreciate everyone for listening, and I will be staying until the end so that I can answer questions if needed.
Thank you, President Montgomery. Now with us next, we will hear from the new president of White Earth Tribal and Community College, Anna Shepherd. Welcome to our committee, President Shepherd. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Hello.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm wondering, are other members having a hard time hearing?
Madam Chair, perhaps you could turn off her video, and that would help the connectivity.
President Shepherd, would you be able to, turn off your video? And I don't know if we all do that too, that'll help, but let's see if we can hear you now without your video on. Could you try that, please?
Yes, can you hear it now?
Yes, we can, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I've been having some difficulty today, so I'm not sure if it's just the weather or what's going on over here, but thank you. White Earth Tribal Community College is located in Menomon, Minnesota, of the White Earth Reservation. The White Earth Reservation encompasses three Minnesota counties, Menomon, Clearwater, and Becker, making it the largest land base and population reservation in Minnesota. We are located in a rural area with the top students in a two-room building in downtown.
Members could all turn off their videos. If everyone could turn off their videos and see if that will help hear you better. Sorry.
The college has undergone growth and moved in 2016 from rented buildings to one campus. The current campus building was designed for multiple phases. Phase three is complete, and plans are underway to begin designing phase four. This fall of 2022, we celebrate our 25th year anniversary. White Earth Tribal and Community College is one of 37 tribal colleges granted membership by the American Indian Higher Education Consortium and is officially recognized as a tribal college by the United States Department of Education. In 2002, White Earth Tribal and Community College was designated a land grant institution under the Equity and Educational Land Grant Status Act of 1994. We received accreditation from the Higher Learning Commission in 2008. Our vision is we carry into the future the way that we're given. Our mission statement is an institution of higher learning dedicated to academic excellence, grounded in Anishinaabe culture, values, and traditions. And we follow the seven grandfather teachings, which is our guiding principles, which are respect, love, courage, honesty, wisdom, humility, and truth. Right now, we have 82% of our students are Native, and we have 9 tribes representative. The majority are female, and our class per rate is 157. Madam Chair, I'd like to have Dr. Driscoll share her updates at this time.
Please proceed. Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself and proceed, Dr. Driscoll.
Good morning, or good afternoon. My name is Laura Driscoll. I am the provost at White Earth Tribal and Community College. At WETCC, we offer one associate's degree. It's an Associate of Arts in Humanities, Arts, and Social Sciences. This functions primarily as a transfer degree, with most of our students transferring to Bemidji State. We also offer three certificate programs, Ojibwe language, to help support the continuation and support of our language, court advocate, which focuses on tribal law and tribal court systems, and then the office administration certificate. We also have a partnership with University of Minnesota Crookston on a Head Start program, which combines the courses, the first 2 years at White Earth and then the last two at University of Minnesota Crookston. We are working on offering trades and technical programs. This is a high need at the reservation, as I'm sure it is throughout Minnesota, particularly in the area of construction. And these programs are needed programs, but as you might imagine, they're also very expensive programs to initiate because they need specialized rooms and a great deal of equipment. We also offer community and extension services. This is part of being a land grant. We offer courses and classes that support the community. Most of them are around food, food security, and culture. Anything from harvesting and preserving vegetables to harvesting animals such as deer. The programs and certificates and classes that we offer support the people and the culture of the White Earth Reservation. And I would like to turn this over now to Jacob MacArthur. He is an alum and a employee at White Earth Tribal and Community College.
Jacob MacArthur, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Yes, hello. My name is Jacob MacArthur. I'm the IT coordinator here at the White Earth Tribal Community College. I have been in this position for 2 years. I took over right when COVID hit. My first day was the day the state shutdown happened. But before that, I was a student beginning in the fall of 2018. I was a first-generation scholar, and it wasn't my first time in college. After high school, I attended a technical college, and it was overwhelming. I had no support, no one to turn to in my family, and I never developed those student success skills in high school. So it was a disaster, and I kind of wrote off school and just jumped into the workforce for several years working for my tribe. And finally, in 2018, I decided to give it another shot. I left my job, came here to the tribal college, and was immediately met with tons of support. Help from all levels to help me get off to a good start and learn how to be a student. And in addition to that, our school offered countless opportunities for personal and professional development. I served 2 years as the student senate president. Had a really great experience doing that. Won several honors and awards. And really had a really transformative 2 years here at our school. But in the back of my mind is for as good as things were going here, I always kind of felt like there's going to be a roadblock, something that wasn't hitting my way that would make, and that was transferring out. I was kind of dreading that. And one thing our school really did a great job at was informing me of our articulation agreement with Bemidji State. And our staff put me in contact with BSU. Sent my transcripts over. It made it so easy to, get started on the right foot at a four-year university. So I was able to take the student success skills I picked up here and just hit the ground running. I graduated with my associate's degree from White Earth in the spring of 2020. I transferred out a semester early to BSU, and I graduated with my bachelor's in business administration in the spring of 2021. And I graduated with my MBA this past winter in December, actually. And so not only did I develop the student success skills, but also my confidence is sky high. I'm applying for doctoral programs for next fall at some really fine schools. So, I mean, I think that, you know, my outcomes and the things I was able to do here, I mean, I think I've been called, you know, the model, what we really want to achieve here. And I'm kind of an outlier, but I don't have to be. You know, if we get the, funding and continuous funding that we can count on, you know, we can, you know, create even more students, you know, such as myself, coming out of our school and into our community. And it goes beyond education. I mean, our school is at, occupies a special and important place on the reservation. You know, we're at the crossroads of economic development, workforce development, community building, cultural revitalization. So as you can imagine, you know, funding our school and, you know, creating other successful students who go out and into the community and make an impact is, you know, is a very important thing. And I would like to, you know, thank you for listening to my, story, and I'd like to turn it back over to Provost Driscoll.
Well, thank you very much. What a story to share, and appreciate you being here today. Provost Driscoll, please proceed.
Actually, we're going to turn it back over to President Shepherd, please.
Okay, President Shepherd, going to wrap it up now. Is that what I understand?
Yes, thank you. Our ask is we would like to be included in a line item on the annual education budget from the state of Minnesota for campus operational expenses. Again, I just want to say thank you to the chair and the committee members for your time to allow us to speak with you all today. So, miigwech.
Miigwech, thank you very much for being here. And now we will hear from President Stephanie Hammett of Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College. Welcome back to our committee, President Hammett. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Bonjour, Stephanie Nidejnikaz. My name is Stephanie Hammett, and I am president at Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College. Chair Bernardi and members of the House Higher Ed Committee, thank you for inviting me today to speak about Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College. I'm very proud to work here. We have a number of initiatives going on, and just in the way of a little bit of background, our college is unique in that it is the only tribal and state community college in the country. We are a member of the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, like my three colleagues here today, but we're also a member of Minnesota State System of Colleges and Universities. As I said before, at times our status can be like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole, as there is no one like us. But at the same time, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Our status provides us, and most importantly, our students, with opportunities in both the tribal and state venues. We are accredited by both the Higher Learning Commission and WINHEC, the World Indigenous Nations Higher Education Consortium. We hold land grant status and participate in the National Achieving the Dream Network. We are also the only community college approved by the Minnesota Legislature to be able to offer a four-year baccalaureate degree. This degree in elementary education will help increase the number of American Indian teachers in the state. We're currently less than 1% of the total teachers across the state are American Indian. FDLTCC hopes to educate more teachers who will influence all young students across the state and country. We're getting closer and closer to receiving this approval. Seems like we've taken steps forward and backwards and forwards again, but now we're at the stage where PELSBY, the Professional Educators Licensing and Standards Board, has approved our four-year program, and we have submitted application to the Higher Learning Commission for their review and approval. A site visit, probably virtually, will be held this spring, and then we will await their decision. Unlike the three colleges have heard from already, we receive money through the state, but we do not receive operational funds through the Bureau of Indian Education for operations. So. That's the funding difference between us at this point. Through our partnership, as I've mentioned, we're in a partnership with Achieving the Dream, And we've been able to receive a grant and work on strategies to help with the attainment gap and education gap for our students. Some of our goals surrounding this are to increase term GPAs, the completion rate, and fall to fall retention rates of American Indian students. We've created an online orientation model, redesigned our academic advising processes for our first year students, and we've also been able to purchase and implement a nationally known communications platform, HOPS and Starfish, which we call North Star on our campus. And this platform allows our students, staff, and faculty to seamlessly and proactively communicate and collaborate to promote student success. One thing our faculty have also done is created a co-requisite model for English and math. So it takes out the developmental classwork. Although students that place in developmental, they take that class, but they pair it with the college level coursework. And it allows for more one-on-one attention. It allows for more work with the instructors. And we've seen some success here, particularly in English, which has been happening for a few years. And then our math instructors took it upon themselves to implement this in a couple math classes. So we're looking forward to seeing how that helps our students. Our goal is to have them take the English and math in the first two terms of their stay here at the college, where traditionally and historically it's been one of the couple of the last classes they've taken. So that's something that we're keeping our eye on. As a result of the initiatives we've been working on since 2018 with ATD, we were notified late last Friday that ATD has recognized us as a leader college. We're very proud of that designation as it recognizes and celebrates colleges that have achieved and sustained substantial improvements in student outcomes and are strong in the capacities fundamental to implementing reforms to better serve our students. More importantly, leader college status also recognizes that each person who is affiliated with our college is committed to ensuring student success for all students. Our student success activities and goals align nicely with our mission and why we created FDLTCC nearly 35 years ago. It also aligns well with the Equity 2030 goals Minnesota State System has challenged each system college with meeting, closing the equity gaps. The programming we've developed is helping us make slight gains in student success. However, in 2020, after the pandemic came upon us, we saw our numbers slip a bit. The pandemic highlighted the challenge many of our students face regarding access to a college education. To combat these challenges, we developed a laptop loan program. We use COVID relief funds to help our students with essential academic needs, help pay off student debt that was owed to the college during the semesters they attended within the pandemic, helped with groceries, emergency housing needs, and emergency expenses related to childcare. We also expanded our food pantry on campus, which just opened within the last month. Along with continuing our work toward closing the achievement gaps, there are challenges FDLTCC currently faces, which includes developing plans to increase enrollment, reimagining how our course delivery will look after COVID, and continuing to implement strategies and protocols to maintain the safety and health of our college community. I have no doubt we can meet these challenges. Our faculty and staff have proven time and again how truly adaptable they are. It is a pleasure coming to work each day and having the privilege to come here. I cannot wait to have open up the campus to more activities and widespread activities. I'm really hoping we're going to have our graduation ceremony this year. I'd like to just shout out to the students that presented today. Those stories are similar stories that we have here. And just hearing the successes and their challenges and their obstacles that they have overcome, it just proves and supports why we come to work each day and why we do what we do. But finally, I guess, Miigwech for inviting Fond du Lac and my fellow tribal colleges here today and providing us the time to talk about our campus and the important work that we do. Miigwech.
We have a member has a hand up. Representative Click, thank you for your testimony today. Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my question is for any of the presidents who feel like they have something to share, but I know that we learned a couple weeks ago that the average age at Red Lake Nation College was 33, and I think our student today from Leech Lake mentioned she was 32. And so it leads me to believe, and in the conversations I've had in communities, especially our tribal communities, is that the average age of student is increasing. So we're seeing more adults going to school or institutions versus the like 17, 18, 19 year old right out of college. And so as we all as a nation are losing numbers in enrollment, I know that it's a goal of ours to increase enrollment. I'm just wondering what strategic plans tribal colleges are doing to increase enrollment specifically towards that adult learner age. And knowing that they have these outside jobs and families and different things like that. Any of the presidents, I guess, who have a good answer to that, I'd like to hear.
Yeah, I could comment. This is Dan, President King.
President King.
Yeah. President King. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, thank you for that question. Yeah, I would say actually our problem is more getting the kids right out of high school because we don't yet have our students who say, you know, in most communities in the country, they graduate from high school and then you go to college or you get some kind of additional training. Well, in our community, it's not quite there where that's an automatic next step, next rite of passage in life. So that's what we're trying to get to. We're focusing on these high school kids right now. And I wanted to comment on the other, the president who mentioned about the Montana allocation, Montgomery. That's an excellent idea, and I really do think we need an annual budget allocation for tribal colleges. And the amount she mentioned actually I think was way under the most current rate is about $8,900 at the federal level per student. So it went up quite a bit. And then I still think it should be for all tribal college students, not just Native students, because that's discrimination against our Native students who are being penalized for being Native and going to a tribal college. Why wouldn't you fund every single student? That almost, it doesn't even seem like it'd be legally possible to happen. But here in reality, in this day and age, we're still saying, oh, if you're a Native person, you're going to a tribal college, you won't be funded because the feds are probably covering you. And I think that's the thinking. But in reality, federal funds are not, we are greatly underfunded at the federal level, which is why you see these tremendous education canyons and gaps. And in other communities, it might not be, you know, from 33% to 1.5%. It might not be that huge canyon, but nationally, I think it's about 15% four-year degree attainment for Native Americans. We're the lowest of all the racial minorities. It was Native Americans. And the reason is because of policies like this where we're not funded. Our schools who are serving and doing this hard work, we're just not funded like everyone else. And so that's all I'm saying is we should just be funded like everyone else. And now when we have good projects like we all have, and we all have things like this, we all have dormitories that we don't have. We have buildings that we don't have. We have programs that we don't have supported because we don't have the funding. And so if we were to get this some help with this campus and some annual funding, you know, you could see these things flourish. So, thank you.
Did any of the other presidents want to comment?
Sure, I just wanted to echo very quickly, and I promise I'll be brief, what President King said, and just trying to get my best foot in the door, Dan. But I do agree that we struggle more with getting high school students to come right immediately from high school. So something that we're doing here at the Leech Lake Tribal College is we have developed a quite an intensive bridge program where they get kind of this wraparound training on in-person, attending classes online, getting the necessary technology. The other thing that we're doing here in Leech Lake is we're collaborating with the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe on various ways to try to get a workforce development pipeline working where the college can do the training and that can supply a labor and a workforce to our tribal nation. So those are some of the things that we are trying to do, both for students just coming out of high school and wanting to go minimal education into career, and also students who are more mature students and who are wanting or who have a defined career path in mind.
Thank you. President Hammett.
I just wanted to mention too, we do have a similar program as far as involving reaching out to high school students and bringing them to campus and having them get exposed to our college and our classes and what to look forward to. We are also in the midst of doing some enrollment management planning. And what we found out is our share of the high school market locally is only about 2%, and which is very, very low. And so we are looking at creating some focus groups and asking questions on what helps those students make the decision to come here or not to come here. Some of those groups might involve high school counselors, our college and the schools program, classes, teachers, that kind of thing, just to see where we can find out, what makes them make that decision or what helps make that decision so we can reach out to the students and hopefully have them come here. But our average age of our students is right around 25, between 25 and 26. So we also don't have those traditional 18-year-olds that are as many that are coming here. So thank you.
Representative Keeler, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. One quick follow-up, and it's not a question. I guess it's more of a statement. I worked in Indian education for a long time in Moorhead, and I know from the Indian education lens, working with 7th through 12th graders, there were many times that we would have loved partnerships with our tribal community colleges. And so any work that we could maybe do in that space, you know, to engage in that population across the state, not just in your tribal nations, I think would be a really positive move moving forward. And I'm happy to help in that area any way that we can. Pilamae, thank you for all of the work you all do. It's so wonderful to see the professionals that come out of your school systems. And as an Indigenous woman who was in education in my 30s as well, I know how hard that is. And I know the grit and the grind that it takes to be able to do that in an education system that maybe isn't always designed for us. And so I know you all do a wonderful job, but more than that, I know that your students do a phenomenal job. Pilamae.
Thank you. Representative Sandel.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi. Dr. King mentioned that 100% of the students that leave the colleges are debt-free. That's terrific. I wonder if those individuals receive Pell Grants or are recipients of grants from the Minnesota Grant Program, Minnesota State Grant Program.
President King.
Yep, they are. They actually, we're like over 90% Pell eligible. Almost all of our students receive the Minnesota State Indian Scholarship, which I should say is one of the leaders in the country for being a premier scholarship program for supporting Native students. So that is outstanding, and that's great for the students. And then also most of the tribes, like Red Lake Nation Tribe, provides about $4,000 per student per year. So the students are funded pretty well. But where we're lacking, I think the biggest shortcoming is the colleges themselves who don't have the operating funds. Think about this. Would any Minnesota college be able to survive without any state funding? And the answer to that would probably be no, or they would be in severe. They'd be cutting people left and right. They'd be shutting things down. It would be a disaster. And we do this every year. We survive with zero state funding. No, this last year we did get $100,000 for each tribal college through the COVID funding, but that was the first time that ever happened. And then there is the funding that goes to non-native students, but that's a minimal amount. I think it's the total is $400,000 for all the tribal colleges in Minnesota. So I think we end up getting about maybe $25,000 per year from that. So it's very minimal right now.
One follow-up, Chair. I'm so really surprised about that and disappointed as well. What about the Office of Higher Education or the Commission on Higher Education? Aren't they aggressive in trying to support the Native colleges?
Yeah, the commissioner has been really good. I think that's how they got the University of Minnesota, the tuition-free thing going, which is, I think that's awesome, actually. And it's going to really help the lowest income. But it won't help the a lot of the people I think it's 79,000 is a family income on that. So, like, my daughter's at the University of Minnesota. And she's in a native group of 20 natives who are currently at the U of M. And I asked her to ask each one of those people in the group how many would be eligible under the new, and there's 0 out of 20 would be eligible for the funding. So, I mean, it's going to help some people, but it's going to leave a lot out because of the income guidelines are so low.
President Montgomery.
So, thank you very much. I would like to also mention, and this is an example from our college. I don't know the specifics for the other tribal colleges, but so something that I'm involved in now and something that we're doing at the college is we're developing a wage scale for our employees. Our college has never historically had a wage scale. And I know that many of us here on this call have worked in higher education, and wage scales are just wonderful. Wage scales tell us how much money we're going to make, how much money we can plan to be making in 3-4 years if we stay in this job. Wage scales also help us budget for things like COLA for our employees. At least at Tribal College, historically, employees have never had COLA. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because as President King said, imagine existing without this kind of funding. I also would like to invite everyone to imagine working at a higher education institution without COLA or any really idea of a pay increase as we move forward into the future. We're facing a 7% inflation rate nationwide. However, my employees haven't had COLA in ever. Part of the reason why I would like to see some support from the state of funding as far as operational funding, as President Shepherd also mentioned, is because I really need to make sure that we retain our very talented, passionate, and committed people who stay and teach our students and elevate our students and allow our students to obtain the life skills that they need. I want to make sure that my employees are well compensated and well rewarded, especially in this uncertain world where inflation is crazy, a pandemic is upon us, and all other things are falling out of the sky. So just adding that piece.
Thank you.
Representative Sandell, did you have a follow-up?
That's fine. Great. Thank you very much.
Members, are there any other questions for our testifiers today? So I don't see any hands. I'm going to ask the tribal colleges a little bit more about their articulation. And President King, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel to get those articulations with the University of Minnesota through? Or is it just a grind and you just doesn't seem like it's going to get there?
Yeah, I think we've taken it as far as we can. And we've had meetings with the president, too. So. And she even it acknowledges, and now they have, who's that new? They got a new appointee. I can't remember what her name is. But, there's really, it's a bureaucracy where I think the faculty have so much, control over those articulations, and they hold that like dear. And they're just, I don't know what they're worried about, but it can be done in like a month or two. So it's just that there's so many departments and so such a big bureaucracy that that's the challenge. So we need some help getting it passed. But, you know, it seems like everybody wants to do it, but yet it nothing. It, you can't move it forward. So we don't know what else we could do. But we would like to see our students be able to transfer in there now that they have this tuition-free, you know, incentive. So there probably will be more people who want to do that now. So I think it's going to be more important that it gets done fast.
Yeah, and I believe, President King, that that program is for students coming right out of high school. So the transfer part of it, but doesn't mean that that might not be a next step, right? Yeah, so President Hammett.
Sure. We haven't worked with the Twin Cities campus on an agreement, but we are working with UMD and making some headway there. Our vice president of academics and there's a number of folks that get together and meet probably on a monthly basis. So hopefully that something will come to fruition out of that one, but it has taken some time.
Okay. Anybody else have any comment they want to make about articulation?
Yeah, I come from the business world, you know, so when I want to get things done, you know, I usually think, all right, let's do this in a week or so. You know, I can't stand things that take forever and never get done and there's no progress, you know, so it's just hard for me to imagine some of these things. And like even when I told BSU and Crookston, well, let's knock this out in 30 days. And they kind of laughed at first and they said, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But we did it in like 60 days and even they couldn't believe it. So I think if you have the willpower and you want to get something done, you can do it. So, and that's the same thing with this funding, you know, because we've been talking about this funding and then, you know, we met with the governor a couple of years ago and he said the same thing. I can't even believe this is the reality. You know, let's do something about it. You know, and so we have a lieutenant governor for White Earth. So, you know, we've talked to her about it and she wants to help us, but we just need to, you know, maybe you folks in this committee can help us, I think, get a fair shake on the funding part.
I see there's no more hands up for questions. I want to thank our presidents and all of our testifiers today for coming and appreciate their leadership and, making our future brighter for not only students, but for our whole state of Minnesota. So thank you very much for your work and coming today. I look forward to our continued partnership. So thank you very much. With that, members, the next meeting will be Wednesday, February 16th. And I don't think that's that right. So I'm going to take that off. I don't think it's Monday. Yes, Wednesday, February 16th. Yes, I got it. Okay, sorry.
I believe we have another question.
Oh, I don't see it. Can you tell me? I can't see it on my
screen. Representative Sandra Mason.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for helping, President Montgomery. Sorry, Representative Mason, I did not see that.
I just put it up towards the end. Not a problem. I was just wondering if any of the staff can tell if there's a legal reason for not funding the tribal colleges, if I'm understanding that, and if there isn't. I would like to know the clarification on that first.
Okay, we have 1 minute here. So can somebody raise their hand or take themselves off mute and who might know that answer to that question?
Mr. Hopkins.
Mr. Hopkins, please proceed.
Madam Chair, representatives, so the state does not typically provide direct funding to non-public colleges and universities. So that's why tribal colleges are not directly funded by the state. The main funding that the state provides is to backfill the lack of federal funding for non-tribal students that are enrolled in tribal colleges. So the state does provide some money directly to tribal colleges on that basis, but and then federal government provides money through the Bureau of Indian Affairs for tribal students enrolled in those tribal colleges. But the main reason that the state doesn't provide money directly to tribal colleges the way it does to the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, the University of Minnesota, is because they're non-public colleges, and the state only directly funds its public systems.
Okay, very good.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Can I make one comment on that?
President King, and we have to sign off. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had an issue about that regarding financial aid, and we fought and won that we are not a private college because they're trying to always list us because we don't fit into the box that's public, private. There's no other box that says other tribal college. So that's the main reason they put us in that box of private, because there's no box. There's not an identification for tribal college.
Okay, good to know. Thank you. Thank you again for testifying today, and we appreciate it. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.